listen to the Black Guy Who Tips podcast because Rod and Karen are hot.
And I'm from the murder capital where they murder for capital. Heard about at least 3 killings this afternoon. Looking at the news like, damn, I was just with them at the school. No shop class, but half the kids got a school, got a tool. And I could die any type of day, any day type of attitude. Plus his little brother got shot repping this avenue. It's time for us to stop and redefine black power. 41 souls murdered in 50 hours. Paper read murder. Black on black murder. Paper read murder. Black on black murder again. Hey, welcome to the Black Guy Who Tips podcast. Your host Rod and
Karen,
and we're live on the Sunday.
Yes, we are.
Ready to do some podcasting, kind of in the afternoon this time.
Yeah, went to go to the movies. Went to the movies.
Went to the movies. That's correct. We saw Widows.
It's really, really good.
Yep. So we'll have a spoiler movie review out hopefully tonight for you guys. Thank you for listening. Let's talk about the show. It's on the Black Guy Who Tips. You can find us on iTunes, Stitcher, Podomatic. Leave us 5-star reviews. Appreciate it. Right, takes time out to do that. The official weapon of the show is
the taser.
The unofficial sport
is bullet ball
and bullet ball extreme. And today's podcast is brought to you by Adam and Eve.
Hey,
that's right, that's right. A little sexy something for all my sexy peoples out there in the podcast land that listen. Let me see if I can find a song for you guys. How about, here you go.
Is there room for me?
Is there?
Yes!
Looking good, plenty time.
Is there any more room for me in those jeans?
Adam and Eve is trying to see if there's any more room in your jeans for something else. They want to hook you up.
You got more space somewhere.
Okay. They want to make you thankful this Thanksgiving. Okay. It's better to be Thanksgiving than receiving sometimes.
Come on.
So go to adamandeve.com and get 50% off of just about any item when you enter offer code TBGWT. In addition to that, they also want to hook you up with the Big O Kit, which, I mean, it sounds like what it is. It includes exclusive Climax gel and a mini vibrator. So now you got a new way to get off. And what person wouldn't want that? Plus, you'll also get your entire order sent to you for free. So hurry up and take advantage of this limited time offer. You can choose a new adult toy, a naughty movie, or almost anything else. And once you get that at 50% off, you also get free shipping and you get the Big O Kit. All you gotta do is put in TBGWT in the checkout code box when it's time to, in the offer box when it's time to check out. That's it. So put in code TBGWT at adamandeve.com.
Any more room for me in those jeans?
All right, let's talk about the news. All kinds of stuff is happening in the news today. What should we start? How about here? Oh wait, hold up, I almost forgot.
Okay,
we're actually brought to you by Shadow Dog Productions as well. Whoops. sponsored by Shadow Dog. It's just so many sponsors, y'all. It's just, oh my god,
I mean, an overflow.
This is it. What, Luchini falling from the sky. Sponsored by Shadow Dog Productions, the team behind the YouTube comedy series Book Crushers. Check out their channel, Shadow Dog Production on YouTube. I'll put a link in the show notes. You'll find their latest episodes plus some bonus videos. If you like it, subscribe.
Mm-hmm.
So like the video, subscribe to the channel. All of that stuff helps them out. Now back to our news.
Something that I wanna know. And to this question,
You have the answer. So tell me what I wanna know. Do you wanna funk? Do you wanna funk? Won't you tell me now? Won't you tell me now? If you wanna funk, let me show you how. Do you wanna funk with me? Do you wanna funk with me?
That's right. It's time for LGBTQ news. To all the homies on the spectrum. Of course, it's not always good news. It's kind of rarely good news. It's mostly bad news. And today is not that much of an exception. Anti-LGBTQ pastor Mark Harris has been elected to North Carolina's House of Representatives.
Houseway?
Yeah, I mean, look, I think we do know how. People want people that represent their views in the House, and there's a lot of bigoted people in our state, and they've been emboldened under Trump, emboldened under McCrory, and they have voter suppression on their side, and this is the thing that happens. He holds intensely homophobic views, going far further than the average Republican. In 2015, he gave a speech where he lamented that homosexuality was no longer criminalized, decrying contemporary moral decay. We have watched in one generation where homosexuality was once criminalized to now we see the criminalization of Christianity.
That's not true.
You guys know how Christians are. So remember that, y'all ever just see somebody with a Bible and the police just jump on top of them and start beating them and arrest them and get them the hell out of there?
You ever seen somebody just walking around putting word of God and somebody just be like, well, you under arrest?
Yeah, I mean, we've all seen that, you know, how Christians just can't, they, oh my God, I mean, you go in jail and there's nothing but Christians in there.
That's all it's like.
Oh my God. why can't they find somebody else to oppress?
They beating them like hotcakes.
Previously, Harris was a key organizer and financer of the state's Amendment 1, which banned marriage equality in North Carolina. During that campaign, Harris' wife wrote a column for their church calling homosexuality an illusion and claiming that sexual abuse causes people to become gay. It's a popular refrain. The only position set forth in the Bible is that homosexual behavior, like all forms of sexual behavior, is a choice. Mark Harris, a reverend, was notorious for using the church as a political organizing point for Amendment 1, hosting Republican meetings, and inviting anti-gay politicians like Rick Santorum, Mike Huckabee, and Tony Perkins to attend. Yeah, I guarantee they did not do that for free. In addition, his First Baptist Church funneled $50,000 to the Amendment 1 campaign. All those people giving their tithes for that hatred.
Yes, sir.
Just willing to giving up your 10% to go to some. No, we don't want to help anyone homeless. Yes. We don't want to feed anyone.
Mothers, yeah. Abuse women.
Nope. There's no third world fathers. Country that could use this. The money needs to go to keeping gay people from getting married. That's a good use of this, of the Lord's money. That's what God would want us to do with it, right? The medical evidence that an individual that chooses the homosexual lifestyle is born that way, he told a reporter in 2013. That is a choice. He went on to claim inaccurately. My thing is, I never understand the people, because you're a Bible person, right? You're a Christian, right? And you're a Republican Christian. You don't believe in the science of global warming. You don't believe in the science of fucking anything that isn't Bible based. You don't believe in the science of evolution, right? They don't believe in these things. But then you quote science as what is the authenticating factor of someone's sexual orientation or gender orientation. How sway? When are the scientists okay? If I say 9 out of 10 scientists, when it's really like 99 out of 100 scientists say global warming is a real thing and it's man-made and we're making it worse, you go, them damn scientists, the liberal Jew run the science is it's just a big hoax, okay, to get money and to cause up trouble for no good reason. Okay, all right. Well, what about evolution? I mean, thousands of archaeologists listen, God invented everything at the same time. Okay, men was riding dinosaurs like He-Man. Okay, that's just
I don't believe that
part. Living in caves and playing with saber-tooth tigers in the morning. That's just what we used to do.
Like the Flintstones.
Well, you know, the scientists, they actually have been able to carbon date the age of fossils and stuff to millions of years in the past. They don't know. That is nothing but Satan and gobbledygook. You're going to have to stop listening to them, okay? All right, well, all right. You said, so the scientists don't know what they're talking about. Exactly. Well, I think marriage equality should be a thing. I think two consenting adults should be able to get married to each other. Now, hold up, buddy. The science on that is different. The scientists said that you are either born man or woman, and everybody's straight. Gay is an illusion. Which scientists were the scientists? The ones. Are they the ones of global warming? A hoax. Are they the ones with evolution? A Jewish conspiracy. But you just said the scientists. I know what I said, boy. That's how it feels every time. This they always come back to the circular logic of science. Science, science is how we can prescribe our bigotry, right? It always justifies it. Okay, cool. Well, what about these other two areas that are very like a lot of science has been put into them, and we can actually like find these scientists?
They dedicate their lives,
right? Like, you believe in Christian science, which is just propaganda. Fuck out of my face. All right. Colorado just elected a trans woman to the state legislature for the first time.
Yay!
Some good news. Friday afternoon, Brianna Titone, I'm not sure how to pronounce it, declared victory in her race, becoming Colorado's first openly trans lawmaker. She is the fourth out trans lawmaker in the nation. Only four. The first was Virginia's Danica Rome, elected to a state legislature last year. And on Tuesday, Jerry Cannon and Lisa Bunker, two trans candidates in New Hampshire, also won their races for state rep. The Colorado Democratic Party had called my race a win due to mathematical probability. I'm very grateful for so many people for their support, kind words, and thoughts during these tense days. So cool, dope. Colorado, I think, also has the gay governor, openly gay governor, I think. So I think we just covered that last week. So good for them, man.
Yay.
Yeah, good for them. Let's see what else happened here in the news. I already clicked on that one. Let me close it and open up a new
one. They say in chat room, yes.
Yeah, okay, cool. So yeah, that's dope, man. Like, who knew? Legalized weed, people start taking a stick out their ass.
Right, they relax, they think.
Like, just like, hey, weed is legal now. Well, you know what? I don't hate gay people no more.
Mm-mm.
Like, I don't know.
Who gives a fuck?
Maybe that was the key to all this.
That's
shit.
That's probably what they go.
Now that I think.
Them gays, they hide with
mm-hmm.
me.
Now that I think
about
what?
It. The person that sells me my weed is gay. What do I have against gay people? Nothing.
First of all, the person that sells my weed is not just gay, but they black. So, I mean, they still need to stay in jail. But the other ones. All right.
Like, why is all your clothes rainbow color? Because after you smoke weed, you see all the colors of the rainbow.
Judge slams Illinois Department of Corrections over trans prison abuse case. Illinois has just 2 weeks to present a plan to train its prison staff on transgender issues and rethink the placement of a trans inmate at the center of a highly publicized abuse allegation.
That's a short period of time.
Yep, but I mean, it's a long period of time of you being abused.
That's true. Because my thing was, it properly trained them, but yeah, you being abused, you're like, get this shit done today.
Well, technically it said to present a plan to train. So that's not really that short of a time.
Mm-mm.
In an order Wednesday, U.S. District Court Judge Nancy Rosentingle slammed the state's Department of Corrections for failing to consider Strawberry Hampton's substantiated sexual abuse complaints while repeatedly denying her request to be housed with women. Yeah, they house trans women with men, and then when they get sexually assaulted at a much higher rate, they don't provide any extra security. If anything, what they'll do is they'll provide they might do solitary confinement, which we found out is actually more like torture than protection.
Mm-hmm.
As opposed to just housing her with women inmates. The strongly worded decision grants emergency relief to Hampton, who was housed with men at Dixon Correctional Center. It forces IDOC to train its prison staff to prevent further anti-trans abuse. It also mandates that Hampton be allowed to go to a trans support group, and that IDOC seriously reconsider her placement in a men's facility. Rosentangle notes that the committee considering Hampton's placement never considered whether Hampton felt safe or secure in a men's prison. In fact, the committee never even interviewed Hampton personally. Hampton's case raises grave concerns about Illinois' compliance with the Federal Prison Rape Elimination Act, which requires prisons to place trans inmates on a case-by-case basis with safety as a top priority. According to the order, all IDOC prisoners are housed based on their genitalia. PREA, however, mandates that, which is the Prison Rape Elimination Act, mandates that placement decisions cannot be made solely based on anatomy. Which is what they probably did. They just were like, yep, anatomy, you got a penis, go to the men's prison.
Right.
IDOC person Lindsay Sahas says that IDOC has placed trans women in female facilities before, but did not respond to a question about how many.
Probably not a lot.
Right. Yeah, so we'll see what happens in this ruling.
And the people that they did place, they were probably had to fight like hell and constantly bring their case up. They guarantee you they had advocates on the outside constantly putting a fuss that they was like, fuck it.
Right. Just, and everybody doesn't have, it's not like a movie. Like, everybody doesn't have the support system and the money and shit to,
right,
to fight these trials. And if it wasn't for advocacy groups and stuff taking up particular cases, we probably would never even learn about these shits.
Mm-mm.
All right, let's see what else we got here. Victoria's Secret CEO, remember him?
Yes, that okay. Old man that was saying we don't want big women.
He said we don't want trans. Curvy women, trans women, any of this shit. Well, he has stepped down.
You don't say.
I do say. Mm-hmm. We all say. We did say. Victoria's Secret CEO steps down following controversial anti-trans and plus-size comments.
Yeah, like these people don't work for you.
Yep. Last week during the interview, Radzik was asked if he'd ever consider putting trans models or plus-size women on the runway. Said, and then we remember his comments. If you're asking if we've considered putting a transgender model in the show or looking at putting a plus-size model in the show, we have. And he told the fashion magazine when asked about how other brands are starting to become more inclusive of including trans and plus size women in their campaigns. He continued, shouldn't you have transsexuals in the show? No, I don't think we should. Well, why not? Because the show is a fantasy. Now after 2 years of operating as CEO of the Victoria's Secret's lingerie division, he is now walking away. Jan Singer is now walking away from her title. So it's not him, it's somebody else. Wow, so she stepped down following his comments. What the fuck? Jan Singer is walking away from her title. According to reports, the lingerie company, which is owned by L Brands, has been struggling with sales due to the younger demographic opting for retail undergarments. The company will give more details on Singer's departure and will announce the company's quarterly earnings. Yeah, see, I feel like he said that shit, maybe she quit in protest, or maybe she just was like, the sales are already tanking.
Right, they gonna
you just killed even more.
Right.
I can't be here and take that for you.
The sales are gonna be even worse.
Now he did issue that apology that we read, which was pretty terrible. So, cause his whole thing was like, we've had transgender people come to casting, none of them make it because none of them are good enough. Not that we're sex, like transphobic or anything, just, you know, none of them will ever and never have been good enough. So keep trying. All right, let's get into the other news, see what's happening here. Beyonce takes full control of Ivy Park after cutting ties with her business partner Philip Green amidst sexual harassment allegations.
Mm-hmm. So she was like, oh, we going to business. Oh, I got the money that I can buy the whole thing, bitch. Now all the money mine.
Yeah, she is now the sole owner of Ivy Park Fashion Brand. The buyout is due to Arcadia chairman Philip Green currently being under investigation for sexual harassment, bullying, and racial abuse towards his staff.
Yeah, she's like, I'm not gonna lose out because you don't know how to behave.
After discussions of almost a year, Parkwood has acquired 100% of the Ivy Park brand. Top Shelf Arcadia will fulfill the existing orders. The previous arrangement had Parkwood and Arcadia splitting the venture 50-50. According to Fortune, former British cabinet minister Peter Hain, now a member of the House of Lords, said he felt a duty under parliamentary privilege to name Philip Green as the individual in question. Hain believes Green obtained a court injunction preventing the British press from reporting the accusations. Green denies the claims. Beyonce,
oh,
and Philip,
mm-hmm.
Beyonce and Philip Green partnered up in 2014 to develop the Ivy Park athleisure brand, which includes, of course, leggings, sports bras, and hoodies.
Mm-hmm.
The clothing brand went on sale in 2016 at Green's Top Shop retail chain, and according to a purported 2017 financial statement, Ivy Park had a turnover of $23 million with losses around $3.5 million. So it made about $20 million.
Mm-hmm.
Beyonce has been under pressure to discontinue her multi-million-dollar business partnership with Green since the allegations were exposed, and she has yet to publicly comment on the allegations. Well, I will take this as a comment.
She had public, that action is her comment. What are we talking about here?
This seems like a comment to me, which is nigga, please, you can go get the fuck
off. She was like, the paperwork straight, okay, make the announcement.
Yeah, it's also like one of those things too where you can't let motherfuckers tie themselves to your brand, because they will sink your shit like right around them.
Yes, they will.
Like I you know, like I love me a good fire starter, and I don't mean that in any type of like subliminal way. I mean, literally, I love me a good fire starter. I love me a good, like, you know, person that just don't take no shit, or they just kind of, you know. But it's kind of like being attached to Kanye, right? You know, Jay and Beyonce used to be kind of publicly cool with them and had to back the fuck off of them because Kanye and Kim will burn their shit to the ground and just don't care
nothing about yours.
Yeah, they just, I mean, if they don't care about themselves, why would they care about you?
Correct. It's a lot of five starters that actually care about their shit and yours too.
Yeah, but for well, if they recognize that, they will leave you out of it,
right?
Because, you know, it's only, there's some people where it's like you got to know your role, where it's like they can be cool, but you let them get too close to your shit and it's like, nah, nope, because you're willing to just fucking say or do something that will completely piss everybody off and make everybody hate you. And you might get fun out of it, you might get whatever, you might not even be able to help yourself, but I can, nigga. So I actually choose to navigate away from folks like that, because you know, you end up in situations like this. And it's dope that she had the money and the agency and ability to be able to buy him out rather than to have to like close shop.
Right.
Pharrell Williams says people in the industry need to stand by Kanye West regardless of Trump support.
You can, ain't nobody stopping you.
Well, you're talking about our brother.
Mr. West.
Yeah.
I'm sure we're all conflicted.
Nah, but we have to love our brother regardless. Of course. You know, never have we ever, in the history, have we ever witnessed a staple in the community be utilized in that way.
Right.
So I look at the symbolism of that and I say, man, we gotta, like, that's our brother.
Of course.
We don't, you know, abandon him because we fundamentally disagree.
Okay.
Yeah, he's saying that from his, he probably has a personal relationship with that dude. Most people don't. Most people don't have that obligation, because, and since we, I don't have that obligation, nor do I have that relationship with him, I can just go based off of what he's doing.
Yeah, it comes after a day after Kim Kardashian West, who also disagrees with her husband's support of Donald Trump, stated that West liked Trump's personality but was not familiar with his policies. I feel Kanye is misunderstood and he's the worst communicator, she said. When we talked about it, we have very similar policies. He's not very political. He just happens to like Donald Trump's personality, but doesn't know about his politics, so I've educated him recently. Well, we'll see. Williams emphasized that his love for Kanye is greater than their disagreements. I'm not siding with him at all. What I'm looking at is his DNA. He's our brother. He's human. That's what it really boils down to. Okay, Pharrell. I mean, I'm not, look, Like, it's easy for us to say because we don't know this nigga. He ain't our friend.
Right. And so I feel like that's 100% where his perspective is coming from. And the thing is, and you said it before, it's real easy to bash somebody when they're not your family members. For some reason, kind of everybody has compassion and understanding.
Yeah, I'm not trying to make him have to disagree or whatever.
Right.
I think it's interesting that he then turns around and subscribes it to all of us.
No, that like, ain't an all thing.
I think you can kind of say for yourself, like, I'm not going to just disavow this dude. I think he's my brother. He's special. He's this, that, and the other. I know him. I can't understand that.
Right.
I think once you say, we can't do this because he's so important to the culture. I rarely do this. I hate to do this right now, but I can't even believe I'm saying this, but where the fuck was this intensity for Chrisette Michelle or any of these other like people that came out? We didn't feel this way for everybody. We didn't feel this way with Stacey Dash.
Mm-mm.
What's happening? You know, I don't know where the compassion comes from specifically and only really for him. I would love to see his thoughts on other black people and specifically black women, but other black people who have gone coon. And if he feels the same way, is it just because he knows this dude, or is it like Pharrell's like this with all the black people that do some coon shit? I just want to know, you know?
Yeah, what is his track record? I've never seen him come out to speak like this for about other people.
Right. Like, I don't know if Kanye is like putting a little money in your pocket. You're working with him on music, so it's just easier to be like, nah, he has some good qualities, but I don't know, man. This feels a little weird, but I relate to the idea of having friends that you can disagree with. I think that has gone the way of the dodo, unfortunately, because of the internet. Mm-hmm. And I'm not saying that people aren't friends with people they disagree with, but publicizing it and standing in that friendship, that's over with. Like, the times where somebody said something fucked up and you're like, you know, feel comfortable being like, well, that is my friend. I just don't agree with the fuck what they doing. I don't agree with what they're saying, but yeah,
you might say that
friends
behind the scenes, but you won't say anything publicly,
especially for celebrities and shit. I feel like those days are done,
right? Particularly for celebrities, because everything is so polarized with them. Like I said, I do understand where he's coming from.
Yeah, I wouldn't tie my brand to his ass, but okay.
Yeah, and also you have to think about it when it comes to Kanye. He's a mover and a shaker, and until he's no longer a mover and a shaker, people will feel like that about him. Like, he is somebody that if he says, hey, I want to do a song, or hey, I want, now people are, you will have more people say no.
Mm-hmm.
But before, more people like, I wouldn't dare tell Ye no.
Yeah.
And you don't never know when he quote unquote gonna get back on the right track or line up right and be hot again, and niggas gonna forget this. So I don't want to be on the side of people out here talking trash. So I, like I said, from that perspective, I understand.
Yeah, and I know it's hard to see somebody like shit on a person that's your actual friend.
Right.
So I definitely understand that, you know, like the idea of, it's easy for me to say, I don't know this nigga. But right, if it was like Chris, and somebody was just going in on him and Chris was acting stupid and I couldn't even defend it, I just had to sit there. You know, like, the best I got for you is, I mean, that's my friend, but I don't agree with him. You know what I mean? I really don't have much for further than that. Unless they say something that I'm going to be like, I won't even be friends with this person, then this is where it's at. You know, they're also two rich dudes that kick it and shit. It's not like the problems are actually affecting him to a person like Pharrell. I mean, you know, not that he's like not black or whatever, but right, to like Pharrell's probably looking at it like it's still a difference of opinion between us two individuals, as opposed to how many of us look at it, which is, it's not just a disagreement or difference of opinion. Kanye has a platform and he's using that platform, and that's the problem. And his I'm not informed and I just like Donald Trump shit is, you know, not acceptable to many of us who are informed and understand that Donald Trump is a very dangerous, powerful man.
Yeah, and it's deadly to us. Like, we don't take it as a game. We go, no. The shit he does is killing people. Every day somebody dies off the policies and procedure that fuck ass nigger and all those people put in place. Right. So as far as we're concerned, no. We got family members and loved ones that are tremendously being affected, or us directly,
mm-hmm,
that are tremendously being affected. if we don't feel the consequences now, you give it another year and a half to 2 years, because right now I tell everybody we're still riding off of the Obama gravy train. A lot of shit now is still Obama's policies that are in place. Give it another year, 2 years, that them fucked up laws with all the tax cuts and all that stuff getting ready to fall, and then the economy will change, and we will see how many of those people will actually care about when their money gets lost and their 401ks fold and their investments dwindle and jobs start going to other countries. We'll see how you feel about it then, but nobody cares right now because they're not directly being impacted by the fucked up policies and procedures that he's putting in place.
Yeah, also that whole like I don't know better, so y'all have to respect me thing that Kanye did was just not cool.
Yeah,
and like I said, I still don't know what his mental health issues were. But even with all that, the impact of his influence could definitely be used for bad things.
Right, and I am just amazed how many American people are very ignorant to the policies that he's putting in place and just do not realize the impact.
Is it a lot of people, or is it Kanye is a representative of, like, he's rich, he can just go off of feelings,
right? He has that privilege.
Yeah, I think a lot of people are aware of his policies because they live under him, you know what I mean? Like, they, like, Kanye doesn't, like, Kanye and Kim hired a private firefighter for us to preserve their mansion during the California campfire. Yes, just like there, and they ended up saving some of their like neighborhoods and neighbors' mansions and shit. Mm-hmm. But they did that. They hired a private firefighter force
because they can
just to protect their shit. I don't know that a guy like that is necessarily concerned with Trump's policies, because what the fuck does that have to do with his life?
Right.
You know, Michael B. Jordan was interviewed because Creed's coming out, and he's doing his pre movie interviews.
Mm-hmm.
And so he did an interview, I think, with GQ, and people are taking quotes from it. He talks about dating. He said it's a little bit hard for him. He said he tries a different approach, but it's like, I can meet you right now, boom, right here, me and you sitting here chilling, whatever, meal, whatever. Somebody could be over there, see this, and all of a sudden you're my girl now. The person writing it editorialized, I wouldn't mind this. I say my personal stock would rise. Let it rise, girl, let it rise, he says generously. Then instantly serious. So then they're going to talk about you. They're going to find out who you are. They're going to find out what your Instagram is. They're going to find us in that and all the fan club, and everybody else is going to find out who you are. And now you and I are forever associated with one another. So now how do you go around anywhere? Chill, just getting to know somebody that you just met, that you may or may not hit it off at all. That part of dating is tough. He quickly asked, now I'm not saying options aren't there, I'm not saying that, but as far as like the nuance of dating, it's just not the same. I'm just going to keep trying to work on myself and build this empire. Yeah, he's basically said that he doesn't even really want to date right now because he's trying to build his brand. And he says, you know, he's 30, he's in LA, he's trying to, you know, he started a movie company. And he says he's not concentrating on that part of life, you know. He feels that he's mature in other areas, but not really in dating. He said, my career is awesome. It is going great. There's other places in my life that I'm fucking lacking at. I'm very mature and advanced in a lot of areas of life. Dating may not be one of them. My personal life is not. I don't really know what dating is. And I saw people like reacting to these comments. What do you think about them?
This is his truth. And he doesn't have a normal life. Like, I think sometimes when people respond to celebrities, they respond like they would with their everyday life. You regular normal person, nobody's following you around, there's no cameras around you, we don't know who you are. You can go to the grocery store, you can function around the world and have a normal job and not be followed by paparazzi. It is not the same. And he's just being very truthful, and a lot of men possibly feel like him but never was said publicly because of masculinity so fragile. Mm. It's a lot of immature ass niggas out there that will never admit, hey, this dating thing is hard, because it is hard. People will not admit it's hard, period. But nobody will admit that the shit is hard, and it's not simple, and it's not cut and dry, and it's a little bit more than I thought. And it's okay to dedicate your time to other things, and it's okay to admit that you're flawed. you know, and a lot of it is more of people going, well, I, you know, you wouldn't have a problem with me. He probably would never look at you. You are not on his radar of women that he would even consider. And so I think a lot of times people are coming from a place of jealousy, just wishing it was them or whatever the case may be. But I have no problem with what he says. He's just being real and being himself. And the thing is, when you're real or quote unquote being truthful, everybody has to poke holes and criticize the people that are quote unquote too real, or you, or they feel like, how dare you be a celebrity, something I consume that's flawed, because my life is flawed. So I come to entertainment to, even though I know you're a person, but I come to entertainment to look at people that are not flawed.
Yeah, I looked at this several ways. The first being, I've taken him at his word.
Right.
I don't think there's anything wrong with what he said in the context that he said it. I don't understand. I don't think any human being owes it to society to fucking date, find a relationship, get married, or any of that shit. I found it to be kind of telling how people were putting this like fictional pressure on him, like, you have to be this. So I thought that was weird. I always think it's weird. Two, if the genders were reversed, people would be calling him iconic and fucking, that's what I'm talking about, build your brand,
girl.
Like
magic.
Like, I saw people just kind of switch it, and I think I was the opposite too. There's people that are like, leave that man alone, that if a woman would have said the same comments, they would have been like, now see, that's what's wrong with these women. They don't want to settle down. They too worried about their own shit. Like,
right, they make it gender wars when actually his comments has absolutely positively nothing to do with you.
Right. So the gender wars part. The number three thing I noticed, there were people who literally must have been talking about some nigga that did them wrong.
Right.
Cause some nigga told them they weren't mature enough for a relationship and they need to work on themselves as a means of escaping the relationship or getting away from them or whatever. And they went on these long tangents. And I'm talking about, it had nothing to do with what this man said.
Just Tyrone, Jamal, Laquan, whatever that nigga name is, just put him out there, baby. He ain't got none.
Right.
Just like Beyonce. Something happens, he was just a jumping off point to get all your feelings and emotions and heartache and pain on the timeline. He ain't got none. He didn't do it, dog. He did not break your heart.
Like, I'm sorry that the dude went on and married the next woman.
Right.
In your life, but that has nothing to do with Michael B. Jordan. You know? So it was kind of like that shit. And then the fourth thing I saw, which, you know, I'm inclined to believe him until there's proof otherwise, but he has an albatross around his neck now of this, he only dates white women or he doesn't date black women, to which he said is not true. He's never really been publicly attached to anyone because he doesn't really go out with like women one at a time and do shit like that. So we haven't even seen like a, this is who he's seriously dating,
right,
thing. And we, you know, we read the Daily Mail like celeb section for shit like that, for white people news, and he's never been in there.
Nope.
So that's kind of interesting. And he said that the picture of him on the boat with all those white girls was him in Italy. He said, you know, he hopped on the boat, he didn't know who was gonna be, it's not like it's his boat, he didn't approve of who's gonna be or not gonna be. They are in Italy. He hops on a boat, gets pictured by paparazzi, and it becomes Michael B. Jordan has a yacht party with nothing but white women. And Bossip is making jokes and shit. He's like, yeah, y'all had these jokes, but y'all really actually kind of, like, I'm kind of mad about it because y'all actually, that shit stuck with me now. So you got people out here making jokes and like, hopping on the I must be some type of secret coon, I only date white women shit, and it's been going for a minute. Like, it's been a year or two now. I posted just this article on my page and people was in the comments making jokes that he just wants to find a white girl. Like, I said I haven't seen any necessary proof of that. I think he had some comments a long time ago in a profile. We got interviewed and immediately apologized and corrected the record on it or whatever, but that shit is gonna stick with him forever. You know, like, I don't think any of us really, like, no offense to this dude, but I don't think he's like Taye Diggs.
No,
where Taye Diggs every interview finds a way to hat back on, like, these, you know, these white women are the real, like, why won't y'all just let me understand I need to date white women because my mom was the one that told me black women wasn't shit. So I don't understand, like, he just, like, we've seen in multiple interviews with him where it's like yo, this really is your thing. Like, I don't think
ain't
Michael B. Jordan,
you can't. Mm-hmm. I say, ain't nobody telling him he can't.
Well, you know what, Karen? I don't think that that's fair to say, because he says shit first and then people react to it. So maybe people are telling him he can't, or maybe people are telling him he's wrong, but he is wrong.
It's
not like it, yes. People started, like, it's a valid response to him saying that shit of black women this and that, where black women go, hey man, fuck you. Like,
agreed.
You know what I mean? Like,
agreed. My perspective is yeah. Now that part, yes, black women don't respond to black men dating white women. I don't know where this myth comes from. Now there are a percentage of black women that feel hurt and betrayed. I'm not going to say that group does not exist. But what they're not doing, they're not stopping you as a black man from dating and loving whoever you want to love. Mm-hmm. Most of us don't give a fuck. Only right. time we give a fuck is when you take that white woman and want to bash us upside right. the head, or take that other woman, you know, she ain't got to be white, but just right. outside of blackness, and bash us up upside the head and tell us how we ain't no good and tell us how they the greatest thing ever. Like, they're not women. Like, they don't have flaws. Like, they won't cuss you out too. Like, they won't leave you too. Like, they won't break your heart too. They're women just like us. There's no difference when it comes to certain perspectives when it comes to women.
It's the anti-blackness people express.
Right.
No one really, like, one, your dating preference really isn't most people's business.
Mm-mm.
I think, and I'm not just talking about race. People should all, like, in general, people should understand at least the world they're putting this out into. And this isn't just a man thing, a woman thing. Some people think it's revolutionary to express, like, I'm into X kind of person that you wouldn't think I would be into. And there's some merit to that, but just understand you're putting this out into an environment that is politicized. You're now making a stand on something that really is a very personal thing. And if you never explain it or come out, people are going to assume, but for the most part, they won't know. So if you're a person that literally is like, I'm only dating white women, there would be no reason to fucking tell the world that, if that was the kind of person you are. You know, it's only when you say something that people, like, John Mayer was perfectly fine dating all and only white women until he came out and said, you know, his David Duke penis comments, and now he's tarred and feathered for the rest of his life. He could have just not kept that he could have just not told anybody.
Right.
Kendrick Lamar said he likes women with natural hair and afros and like Richard Pryor and shit, and he said he likes women with something natural like Richard Pryor or some shit like that. You really don't have to tell anybody that. Now, I'm not saying that his comments were so fucking horrible, but still, you don't even have to say it. You made a choice. Once you make that choice, it's going to become politicized, right? It's going to become, yay Kendrick Lamar for expressing sexual urges and love and appreciation for dark-skinned women with afros who don't have plastic surgery and stuff. Thank you so much, Queen King. We need that message. There's some people that are going to say that. There's a lot of people going to be like, what's wrong with a woman that want to get surgically enhancements? Like, why you got to be hating on that, Kendrick? Why you can't be attracted to that? I don't know that we get to tell, like, I don't know that people's sexual attraction is altruistic. Like, people like what they want, you
right.
know? There's some of the wokest people in the world probably get fucking excited for some of the people that you would be like, what the fuck, them? You know, and people like to get off on the shock value of telling you that. They didn't have to tell you that. Should have mm-hmm. kept it to yourself. So mm-hmm. anyway, all that to say, there are people that do that for a living. Michael B. Jordan does not seem to be one of those people. He seems more annoyed that it keeps coming up every time he does a round of interviews for everything. It's back to, so are you a coon? Do you only fuck white girls? Do you hate black women? And he has to be like, I don't. That was misquoting the paper. That was also, I've apologized for the first time. That yacht thing, that was not the way it appeared.
Every single tour.
Like, I can see how he would feel fucked up about this. You know what I mean? And for the record, a lot of people, but I just don't think he's put it out there in that way to get the kind of reputation that he has. But once again, we are some of our personal experiences, and what I've mostly seen, it appears that people are responding to their own personal experiences with certain type of niggas. You know, I was talking to a friend the other day, and she was talking about an issue she was having with this dude, and I was like, you know, being that it's kind of like a bit of a pattern, I'm like, you could have issues with certain type of niggas. You know, I know I used to and still do with some, but I know, like, for instance, I used to be really prejudice, I guess is the right word. I don't know if prejudice is the right word, but I used to be ready for certain type of black people to fuck up. Like if they're like, if you're black and you're like, I was a special snowflake, I was raised around white people, I listened to certain types of music, I was all like, back not so long ago, I was always ready for like, and so when are you gonna drop the, I actually don't like niggas like you, Rod. Why you gotta say the N-word? Why do you talk like that?
You had to always come from a place of pain.
I was waiting for it. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? And many times, it either never came, or it was just some type, it could be a light misunderstanding or the type of thing we really could have just talked it out, and I was ready for war on some like, so when you gonna say what you really think about me? You know, when are you gonna say, you know, you think that I'm acting a certain way? Or you think, you know, whatever. Like, I was ready for the shit. And I think, and sometimes it would be justified. It's not like they was good 100% of the time. Sometimes you really do meet a dude or a person that you, that is like really anti-black. They just happen to be black as well. And you're like, damn, you really don't like niggas. Like, you don't like people like me. So I think a lot of times with black men, we have a contingent of black men that are very vocally loud about the anti-black women jokes, the white women is so great, the Asian women and all this shit, and justifiably so, it makes people put their fucking guard up. Like, so it's almost like you're waiting on the other shoe to drop with people like this, people like Donald Glover, people like, anytime you see these people like public black figures who operate in blackness but are attached to spouses that aren't black, and they have any level of critique or jokes about black people, black women in particular, I guarantee you that's gonna make people like feel a certain way. And we don't really know that for Michael Jordan, to be honest.
Michael B. Jordan.
We don't really know that for Michael B. Jordan, but I think a lot of people have seen this show enough that they're already assuming he's like that. So that's a long way to go to be like,
because I want nobody to be like, the basketball player.
Well, I mean, we have our jokes about Michael Jordan too, but I just thought it was funny because you corrected me, but I was like, Michael Jordan, maybe. I'm going to leave it alone. But so anyway, man, it was just something to think about, man. I saw it and just saw, like I said, the commentary from it didn't seem to come from what he said. It seemed to come from how other niggas have been.
Right. And like I said, and a lot of times those feelings come from hurt and pain, and black women that do have an issue with black men dating white women, that pain does not come from nowhere, and it's something that they personally need to address within themselves. But a lot of times, versus addressing stuff, you don't do that. So you come out online, and anytime anything pops up that allows you to pull your pain across the timeline or whatever, on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, that's what you do, versus saying, let me check myself. What is it within me that causes me to feel this way? Because who he puts his penis in has absolutely, positively nothing to do with me.
Yeah, and society's already kind of bent one way. Right. Like, it's very anti, like, our society's very anti-black, so it's anti-black woman. It's a, we live in a misogynistic society, we live in a patriarchal society, and we live in a racist society. So now, it's not like it's an even playing field. Mm-mm. Already, so any comments that contribute to the like the myth of the angry, unattractive, unwanted black woman, the genteel white woman, anytime you do that shit, you're gonna end up like with a big ass response, because people just tired of it. I'm tired of people acting as if it's never a thing.
Right.
Like, I understand that we can never really know, and it has to be an individual case by case basis for me. I don't like to do the broad sweeping, like, that person's dating a white person, they must be a coon. I don't like that shit. I think it's actually kind of fucked up. But in general, some people, like, they're invested in being like, let's mock anyone who notices. And I think that's why these people like Michael B. Jordan, not his fault, but that's why they become touchstones for these issues. Because other people select them as the champion of the what's wrong with a black man that just want a white woman type of cause, and then there's other people that select them for the this is what's wrong with black men and their coons, and they become avatars for something. And you look at the comments and you're like, the comments weren't, he didn't say those things,
right?
But the people around him definitely did. So I mean, and not around him physically, but you know what I mean, the people right. on that make these commentaries in life, they kind of pick up on and start promoting that shit. And I think it's a very hurtful, painful thing that people are doing to each other, and I wish people would stop, but
correct,
they're never gonna stop. Like I said, there were this, these comments weren't even about white women or none of that shit, and people was on the page, like on my page anyway, being like, he's out there looking for some white women. It's like, yeah, it's, I mean, it's Jesse Williams was everybody's woke bae, got rumors attached to him supposedly dating a white woman after him and his wife are going through a contentious divorce involving child custody and all this type of shit. People was like, yeah, that dude's a coon now. Like, all the shit he said, that nigga's a coon. So it's like, but is it him particularly, or is it just the shit that we feel around these issues and the thousands of arguments that have happened before? Like, it's just kind of interesting. Yeah, Minka Kelly, that was who it was that he was attached to. So, and I don't even know that that shit was confirmed. That's how crazy it was. And I feel like, to a certain extent, he's tamped down his activism and being vocal since that shit. I don't know if that's better or worse for people, but it's almost like he was out there playing too much in activism and shit, because people went, well, we got rumors that, because I think he was working on a video game voice acting with Minka Kelly, and it was like, the rumor is y'all went to the beach. It's like, well, there's a thousand ways to explain it, doesn't really matter. Like, you're tired of feather as a coon right now,
right? And the thing is, I think for a lot of people, they just want to keep people out of blackness. I've just come to the conclusion about some niggas. Anything that happens at any time that gives them the right to put you out of blackness, like, oh, you're not black, quote unquote, black enough. Right. And for a lot of black people, that's their biggest fear, to be kicked out of blackness. But baby, let me tell you, can't nobody kick you out of blackness. Nobody. Your experience is a black ass experience. I don't care if both of your parents are black, one parent is another race, your black experience is your black experience. And that's,
you can't even really kick yourself out.
Right, that's hard because as far as
even if you go, I don't identify as black, I'm half blank, I'm half this, you really don't get a choice in America. Everybody's like, you still a nigga, it doesn't really matter what you think.
Right, because they're going to treat you just like they treat me.
Yeah, so I think also just, this, and this is with JC Williams too, when people want you, quote unquote, they want you to be like, be with a person that reminds them of them.
Correct.
And that's why the reason JC Williams, I think, had so much of a fan base of black women in the first place is because they, you know, no disrespect intended to his ex-wife, but a lot of people really looked at her as, this could just be me. Like, you know what I mean? Not that she's not special in her own right, but I saw it for myself, how many people were basically being like, I can catch a Jesse Williams if she caught a Jesse Williams. You know, I don't know if that's the most complimentary thing to think, but that's what it was looking like.
Right.
And so when his marriage doesn't work out or whatever, there's a lot of people that seem to have an investment in it that it really was never about you. You know?
Right.
Same thing with, people brought up Felon Bay. You know, shit, Michael B. Jordan, so many people want him. Idris Elba. You know, there's certain people that, you know, I don't know if what the right words are for it, but there's the fact that you are attached to a certain type of black woman or a certain type of person makes people root for you, you know, the same, in a different way.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas if you were attached to a person that did not remind them of themselves or they could not see themselves in, it becomes a little bit more like, I don't know if I fuck with you, you know? So anyway, as always, race taints everything.
Yes, it does.
Speaking of race tainting everything.
We're just fucking with those black people. We're just fucking with those blacks. We're just fucking with black people.
That's right, guys. Time to play the game that we all hate to play. It's Fucking with Black People. The game we go all around the globe, find different articles to make us feel fucked with, and we assign point scores from 0 to 100 at intervals of 25 for how much we feel fucked with. And everybody's playing the game. All right. Today, Fortnite is playing. Rapper 2 Milly is suing online video game Fortnite for profiting off of Milly Rock Dance and changing his name to Swipe It.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. I understand that. Yeah. You probably can make the characters dance like that, right?
Yep.
Yeah, goddamn right you're getting sued.
The world is literally Milly rocking on every block, including in video games, but Brooklyn-based rapper hashtag 2 Milly isn't here for people making a profit off his work without giving him his well-deserved credit and consent, which is why he's taking the popular online game Fortnite to court. In an interview with CBS News, he explained how he created the trendy dance and how he recently found out Fortnite had implemented the move in the game. Everybody was like, yo, your dance is in this game. They actually sell the particular move. It's for purchase. That's when I was really like, oh nah, this can't go on too long. The company also changed the name from Milly Rock to Swipe It. The Milly Rock is 2 Milly's dance move that grew popular when the rapper dropped his music video for a song, Milly Rock, 4 years ago, where he is seen performing the dance. The dance came back on the scene in 2017 following the rapper hashtag Playboi Carti's track Magnolia. Since then, social media users have created videos using the dance, which has been noticed by businesses such as Fortnite. The rapper plans on taking legal action against Epic Games' owned franchise. However, there are no logistics on where his team is in the process. According to the intellectual law, it is possible to copyright a dance, but not an individual dance move. The dance must have a series of movements that are arranged in a unique original sequence in order to have copyright protection. One move is considered to be only one building block of an entire choreographed dance. An example would be the songwriter trying to copyright a musical note instead of an entire song, which is a unique arrangement of notes. Rappers like Chance the Rapper have been outspoken about companies profiting off of black artists' work. Fortnite should put the actual rap songs behind the dances that make so much money as emotes, he stated on Twitter. Black creators created and popularized these dances but never monetized them. Imagine the money people are spending on these emotes being shared with the artists that made them.
Right, and it's one of those things where you didn't just put it in the game and call it something else. Not that he would have been fine with that, but you're charging people to purchase this. So this is not something when I get the game, I can just do, right? I have to pay an extra 99 cents, 299, whatever. You're charging people. Fuck yes, I'm going to get a cut of this because you're charging people now. Where's my piece of this?
Yeah, I agree completely. I really don't know that there's another way to look at it. I guess the Milly Rock, like they said, maybe if you just say the Milly Rock is one part of a dance, but even still, I think the morality of it is skeevy. I don't right. like, even if you don't get to the what the law will allow, maybe the suit will be thrown out or seen as, you know, something that, you know, like, oh, this is just a petty lawsuit throwing this shit out. But I just feel like there should be some morality to it, where the people that came up with these dances, you would at least get their permission, think about compensating them, especially since you're selling it,
right? And then that's the thing, and the thing is, it's somewhat frustrating. Y'all only do this bullshit to niggas.
Right.
Anybody else, if a white person would have came out, you would have paid them and compensated them for that.
Yeah, I wonder if, like, the Macarena's in the game.
No.
Because I feel like that's probably copyrighted, right? Because it had, like, a bunch of moves.
Correct, in a series. And right. If you sold the Macarena separately, whoever invented the Macarena won't do Macarena coins. Pay. Right. Pay.
And especially, like you said, especially when it comes to black shit, it's like, well, this has no value. We can take it.
Right. Right, because, and this is the thing that kills me, is like, black people invent some of the coolest shit in the world, and the world just comes and they take it and they run away with it. Everybody's doing it. It's on fucking commercials, YouTube. Everybody around the world is doing it. Everybody gets the credit and everybody makes the money off of it, but the person that created it, that's a problem. And nobody wants to go find out who created it, and a lot of times these people end up broke and poor because we'll take from your community, but we don't want to pay your community for its creativity. We don't want to pay them for the innovation. We don't want to do that, but we'll take and rip it and smack somebody's white name across it. They'll be like, oh, we don't know who invented it. Yes, you do. Yes, you do. Because a lot of times, black people don't have the means to go sue for intellectual property and all, because you have to have money and lawyers and all that type of stuff. So that's why they steal from us, because they know they can. And most of the times, there's no consequences and repercussions for them stealing from us.
Yeah, and it's funny because, one, black people in a lot of these cases don't have the money or the resources to go get paid. And then the other thing is, it reminds me of Five Heartbeats. That scene where they put the white dudes on the cover of their song, and he was like, what's gonna help get crossover appeal? And he's like, which one was it? Eddie was like, how come crossover don't never cross over to us? Crossover ain't nothing but a double cross. Where's the benefit for us that you stole the dance? You know, change the name even. So y'all knew to change the name. Cause y'all knew what y'all were doing. Y'all didn't want to give this man any credit in a lawsuit where y'all could do this. And you know, often once white people come into some shit, they try to box you out of your own shit. So you know, I definitely can understand that feeling, and I hope that even if he can't win a lawsuit based on this definition of dance or whatever, I hope that he still gets compensated, just because that would be the right thing to do.
Right, and set a precedent. Like, don't do this bullshit. And
we're talking billion-dollar games.
Right, and that's the thing that killed me. Ain't like y'all ain't making no fucking money. Every kid across America and adults are spending hundreds of hours a goddamn month on this fucking game. Pay people.
Right, like, let's say this dance costs 99 cents. If you gave this dude 9 cents a dance, like a emoji or whatever the fuck, an emote, 9 cents, y'all would more than compensate this dude enough for him to go on and do whatever the fuck he wants to do in life. Like, the amount of greed and corporate malfeasance that this shit is, like, super whack.
Right, and you brought up something too, and to an extent I feel like this, and it's very frustrating. A lot of times in certain situations, niggas don't want white people there when it comes to certain things. Mm-hmm. They go, no, we don't want y'all making y'all fucked up rules, fucked up regulations.
Right, coming in and ruining it.
Right, we don't want y'all telling us what we can and cannot do, because you're going to strip the freedom out of it. You're going to strip the flavor out of it. You're going to strip everything and make this shit special. You're going to strip the shit that even caused you to come here in the first place, and it's going to be dull and it's going to be barren.
Yeah, because a lot of times I feel like the way that white people that interlope into other cultures come at things, it's like, how do I monetize this?
Right.
How do we make this where we can manufacture many different versions of it?
A duplicate.
You know, it's a difference between that and like empowering somebody.
Yes.
You know, coming in and being like, how do we make this so that you can do whatever your dream was with this dance or with this music or with this shop or whatever. Most people don't come at it from that angle. They come at it from the, how do we take what you do and make it a cookie cutter, like sell as many possible t-shirts as possible.
Right, and it's a cut, copy, paste, and it's one of those things with a lot of black people that frustrates them when they look at other people, and that's why that nigger fishing thing, people will live it, because they was like, it's niggas shaped like this and they can't get a dime. They can't get nobody.
Right, they're not a star
to
at
them.
All, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
They're not everywhere, but yet you get somebody that's not even from the culture. Don't even come from this. You ain't even goddamn American, and people are throwing dollars at them, and that's the part that frustrates people.
Yeah, like how somebody like Yes Jules can be famous for being a white girl that has a big ass, even when she says something racist or something fucked up. You got a lot of black men that take care of her, take pictures with her, have her at their concerts. She doesn't have any talent. She just got a big booty. That's it. She's a white girl with a big booty, and they will let her come into the culture just on some like, look at this rare unicorn, as if there aren't white big booty white girls all over the fucking world. But like, look at this rare unicorn coming into our space, as opposed to if it was just some random big booty black woman, she gotta be some type of hoe. She gotta be some type of thought. She gotta be some type of, like, that's just a bitch you don't respect, you know? It's the difference, you know?
Right, and that's why I don't hate on nobody for quote unquote being talentless and making that money. Things like that don't bother me.
Yeah, but like I said, Yes Jules will be worshipped in a way that, you know, a black woman of similar like the similar lane would not be. She'd just be an Instagram hoe or some shit.
Right. And it's not the fact that it don't bother me. I think I'm put like this. It don't bother me when brown people do it, because I'm like, hey, white folks do this all the time.
Right.
Black girl with your big ass talentless doing nothing.
Yeah, gold. I'm not bothered by it either. I'm just more saying like there's a racial element to it.
Right.
That is uplifting for certain people, mm-hmm. you know, as opposed to others. It's like, what are they doing? You know. Anyway, 100 for me.
Same.
That was shame on you, Fortnite.
Right, the biggest company in the fucking world right now. Come on.
You got more money than God and you trying to profit off of the Millie Rock. And I don't know what the other dances are, so who knows? I don't know. Maybe the hammer dance or the Running Man is on there, and no one's gonna look and find out who made that and give them money, so I don't know. Right. But this is a dance from 4 years ago. It ain't that hard to find out who made it. It's named after him.
It ain't that hard.
So there's a girl who was on Dr. Phil. She is clearly a black girl, and she became a meme this last week when we were we just didn't get to it.
I know a lot of people take issue with my beliefs. I'm white. I'm a Caucasian because everything about me is different from an African American. I have naturally straight hair. My hair isn't nappy. It doesn't require weave. My nose is not giant. It's like
I guess the joke, I mean, they're not joking on Dr. Phil. They treat it like it's serious, but they know that it is a joke. I guess the thing is, it's so ridiculous. She obviously has a perm. My hair is straight. We know it's not. If she took a fucking, they should say, just hop in the pool real quick then.
Come on.
Just hop in the pool, hop right back out. We'll see how straight it is. Let's just let it sit for about 30 minutes, let the sun dry it, and then we'll have a discussion about how straight your hair is.
Come on.
You know, her saying I'm white, she's obviously like a darker brown skin black woman. Mm-hmm. It's just one of those.
The lies.
Right. It's just one of those, I think one of those things where they're trying to be controversial by putting someone on that they go, oh, this person must be crazy. I don't know if she came off necessarily crazy, but it's kind of like the catch me outside thing. Mm-hmm. You know, let's show a bad child. Here's a child that won't listen to their mother. We need to put her on TV. Now, you can't find one of these in every Family Dollar.
Come on.
Yeah. It's not like you can't just go to the toy section.
The lies.
All right, back
to African Americans, my lips are perfect. They're not too big and they're not too small. They're just perfect. My ears, I don't have black people ears because they're really...
Black people ears? Is that a thing?
I mean, what is we? Goddamn Dumbo? I don't understand this.
That's one thing I've never considered. I've never looked at an ear and been like, no, that's a black ear. I don't know who's...
Anybody told you about them nigger ears?
Right.
Giant. Most African Americans speak ghetto. But when it comes to black people, I think they're all ugly and I have nothing in common with them. I'm different from African Americans because I'm white. My figure is just like Kim Kardashian and she's a wonderful role model.
She obviously, everything she's saying is a lie, so just... Yeah. If you haven't seen this woman on social media, just everything she's saying is not true.
Yeah, because looking at her, mm-mm.
She has big black lips.
Mm-hmm. Big white nose.
She is not shaped like Kim Kardashian in any way.
Mm-mm.
And I think like a white person instead of a black person. I believe that I'm completely and utterly better than them. Like, we're on two different levels. Like, okay, African Americans are here, I'm here. White.
And then the other thing is, she appears to be trying to talk white, not very successfully, you know? It sounds like she's trying to use her interview voice. But like, if she called you on the phone talking just like this, she'd be like, why is this black woman so racist against herself? You know what I mean? It's not like,
right.
I know people hate that there's no such thing as talking black. Well, I'm sorry, but that's a lie. You definitely can hear the black in a lot of people when they're talking. You know, there's people that get off on being mistaken for not black, but there's some, you can kind of tell sometimes, most of the time, really. But yeah. She's basically trying to sound like a white person.
But my mouth to God's ears, I really hate those nigger rats. And anyone else, really, that doesn't have pure white Aryan blood running through their veins.
I'm happy to be talking to a true white American.
God bless white America.
Yeah, we've seen this movie. Black Klan Woman. Black Klanswoman. We've seen this, okay?
Stop. People act and think just way more mature than African Americans. Black people, they think in a criminal way. When I think about African Americans, I feel like asking them, what is wrong with them? They're really dangerous. If African American is on the same street as I am, I'll cross the street to avoid their chaotic, thuggish ways.
Are you okay?
I'm irritated.
I'm sorry.
I just know that I'm white. I mean, she might not know that I'm white, but I know that I'm white. I can feel it through my veins. I feel it through my blood. I tell my mom, I'll never be like any of those Negroes. I'm trying to...
That's a lot. I'll never be like any of those Negroes.
That's that Tobias coming out of her.
I know, right? That's Michelle.
Criticize me about my supposed race. I tell her she's just ignorant. There's nothing wrong with my views or beliefs because I have freedom of speech and everything I'm saying is true.
All right, so then they go on to have Dr. Phil interview her and all this shit.
How old is she?
25 years old, it sounds like.
Okay.
Most people were in disbelief that a black girl could harbor so much self-hate towards other black people, but no one is in more disbelief than her 25-year-old sister, Nina Richards. Wait, more belief. Oh no, she's 25 years old. Her name is Nina Richards.
Who's the sister that keep popping up?
Let me see. Let me read this sentence again. I don't think I'm understanding it. Most people were in disbelief that a black girl could harbor so much self-hate towards other black people, but no one
go ahead, finish the sentence, I'm sorry.
But no one was in more disbelief than 25-year-old Nina Richards, who's her older sister. So Treasure is actually younger than her.
Okay.
She's 16 years old.
Okay.
So what I will say, I'm not surprised she picked up on a lot of this language and shit in this current climate.
Hello.
I mean, a lot of this stuff is textbook what white people and Republicans and social media says about black people all the time. I think, much like Candace Owens, it's very easy to just adopt the white racist speaking points and go on TV because they're such simple, overt racists. Like, it's just such simple things, like their thuggish ways and like all that shit she was saying. So I don't find that to be kind of that surprising. I think it sucks more that Dr. Phil would give somebody like this a platform in order to exploit them. I know that's what he does for a living, but that's why you really just can't respect that dude, because this kind of shit is very hurtful to a lot of people. And yes, while it's funny, I'll laugh at it, but there's also some tragedy here in real life. She apparently, so her sister interview with Essence, and she said that Treasure and her mother just only wanted to go on the show because they want a free trip to LA and to become a meme online. I knew they were going to LA, but I didn't know what it was about. Nina said when asked if she knew about their Dr. Phil appearance, they told us that they weren't allowed to say what the show was about. I thought it was something she actually did in her real life. And by real life, Nina means Treasure is currently on the run from Michigan's Child Protective Services after dropping out of school and becoming a ward of the state.
Oh,
right. There's always some real tragedy behind this shit, right? And Dr. Phil's willing to exploit it. Treasure stopped going to school for a very long time. She's into a lot of craziness. She puts herself out there. She has all these hustles. She's banned from CVS. She's done a lot. Yeah, when it comes to Treasure's appearance on Dr. Phil, it definitely wasn't something the 16-year-old orchestrated on her own. Nina says her mother wanted a free trip and her brother was basically along for the ride. But what pisses Nina off even more is that her deceased father's name and reputation was ruined. William Richards, who was a white man, died in 2006 and had his photo shown on national television. Monique apparently lied about the fact that Treasure never knew he wasn't her biological father. According to Nina, her siblings always knew he wasn't their biological father, but he was the one who raised them. They disgraced my dad, who I love dearly. I haven't spoken to my mom since the episode aired. My mom and I have had a relationship very rocky because she's done a lot of evil stuff. Treasure always knew who her biological dad was, and when it came to Daddy William, he was a very loving and kind man. All that narrative of her not knowing she wasn't white is fake. He loved us and was such a loving person, and seeing his picture slapped all over television was a disgrace. Also, it's fake that Treasure says she hates anything that's to do with black people. That's fake. If you took a look at Treasure's Facebook page, you can clearly see she has black friends and even wrote about supporting Black Lives Matter. And guess who else might have known about Treasure and her family being a fraud? an unnamed producer, Dr. Phil Show, who left a comment on a now deleted Facebook post. It's a disgrace to our family and our race. We are a black family, very black. We're Detroit black. Oh man, that's pretty black. For my mom to allow this is a mind fuck to all of us. Dr. Phil's people didn't care, did not care. They wanted to spin this narrative. This is why I believe everyone on that show's staff is racist. Dr. Phil corrected my sister for saying retard is a derogatory word, but never corrected her for saying niggers. Nina continued, as a proud makeup artist who promotes black beauty, it offended me to hear my sister talk about black people the way she did. My mom raised me to be a proud black woman, and the love of the culture was always there. Shit. She said she called a CPS too. She needs to do hard time in juvie and sit down and be in the control area. She doesn't want help from a regular family household. Being in a control area is for her own good, because there are people who want to hurt her now. People online have been sending her death threats and want to know where she lives. People from her school know where she is. Her life is at stake at this point.
Yeah, because you're on TV.
All because she wanted to be famous. Like,
that's some people's goal. Like, they... You own TV now, what? Like, most people don't make money off of that shit.
Yeah, and what's even wilder is, like, the Catch Me Outside girl rose to fame and stardom off of doing something pretty fucking ignorant as well. You know, oh, man, it's, like I said, it's just sad to me. It's not really, you know, I don't really, like, I know that most people are probably gonna laugh at it, and there's some funny shit there. I'm not saying nothing's funny, but... I don't know. It's kind of more sad than funny to me. 0 to 100.
Excuse me. I still give it 100.
Yeah, I think I mean, like, knowing she's faking it, you think would lessen the score, because it's like, oh, she faked it. But it kind of makes it worse to me.
Agreed.
Because it's so obviously a fake. Dr. Phil and them just put her on TV, knowing she's 16, and she has a parent that's complicit in this shit. Like, who's helping her? Like, you know, that's crazy, man.
That's why I get 100.
Yeah, that's 100. I feel fucked with. I can't lie. All right. Let's do one more. Report: black women less likely to be promoted and supported by their managers.
Yeah, I agree. I believe that.
100.
Mm-hmm. 100.
Researcher surveyed 279 companies employing more than 13 million people and talked to 64,000 employees on their workplace experiences. That's a pretty vast study. That's a lot of people. More than 90% of the companies polled said they prioritizing gender and racial diversity leads to better business results. Yet only 42% of employees surveyed said they see gender diversity as a company priority, and only 22% see racial diversity as a company priority. For every 100 men promoted to manager, only 60 black women are. 40% of black women have had their judgment questioned in their area of expertise. 27% of men have. Only 35% of black women said their manager promotes their contributions to others. 46% of men said their managers does. And 41% of black women said they never have a substantive interaction with a senior leader about their work. Just 27% of men said that. If you're a black woman working woman in your 50s and 60s, and these stats reflect your personal experience, it's understandable why your frustration level is high. What's worse, according to the U.S. Census Bureau, while a full-time working woman earned about 80 cents on every dollar a man did, a full-time working black woman earned 67 cents on for every dollar.
Mm-hmm. And this is why black women, particularly a lot of older black women, some younger, but older black women, are breaking out and being entrepreneurs, because they're like, oh, the system is rigged, this is some bullshit, you know what, I'm gonna be my own goddamn boss. You know who I'm gonna cater to? Us.
Yeah, well, also, you can be overly qualified for the shit you get anyway,
right?
So it's like they wait until it's undeniable they have to give you this promotion or give you this position or this job, because it's like, you the shit, you're above this station in life already. Like, black women never get promoted too early. You know what I mean? Like, it's all, it's always too late.
Right.
Right. So I think that's a big difference. And then, yeah, that's the one hurdle you don't face as often. Not that you don't face any, but you don't face it as often when you're in business for yourself, is because you can kind of cut out that person over you that's deciding when and where you get to be, you know?
Right. You can make your own decision. And the internet has allowed that. And that's one thing that I do love about that, because like you said, particularly if you're expertise in the field, that's the shit that really pisses black women off. I got a degree, I got my doctorate, PhD, whatever it is. I know, I've been doing this shit for 15 to 20 years. I know more than you know, boss or manager. You come to me to ask me about my expertise, and then you act like I don't know what I'm talking about.
All right, 100.
Same.
Now that it's time for some Guess the Race. That's right, it's Guess the Race time. Now that it's time for some Guess the Race. That's right, it's Guess the Race time.
That's right, it's time for Guess the Race, the number one game going across all of podcast land. We read and play news articles from all over the globe, and we ask our contestants today, Karen and the chat room, to guess the race. And of course, the chat room plays along, and everyone involved is racist. All right, let's get to the first game. A software engineer who lives with life-size dolls told to stay away from a school friend that he tracked down. An obsessed engineer who stalked a woman he had fallen in love with 50 years earlier had landed with a 5-year restraining order after he pursued her once again. Everard Kunian, 62 years old, admitted to stalking Julie Taylor, once Julie Allen, since he never got over her despite having not seen her since they left school in 1972. The lifelong bachelor decided to try and get back in touch with her earlier this year after losing his job made him reevaluate what was important in life. He thought he was gonna start in a rom-com. The court heard he had hurt her while at school, but details over their falling out were not given. Mr. Kunian, who lives with 9 life-size dolls at his home in Christchurch, Dorset. Oh, so he's a real keeper. He researched births, deaths, and marriage registers in order to find Mrs. Taylor and obtained her wedding photo. I like that that's the first time you said what. I feel like every sentence of this has been what.
It has, I'm sorry.
Obsessed Kunian also turned up at her old family home where her 88-year-old mother, Georgina Allen, still lived. Although Kunian was told to leave, he went on to send 8 letters addressed to Miss Taylor to her mother's address. He also went jogging past her mother's house every day over a 4-month period, and once even followed a woman he thought might be Miss Taylor from the property. Miss Taylor, I don't know what this knee Allen. Miss Taylor did not respond. I guess formerly Miss Allen did not respond to his letters, but she did. She and her mother became concerned when Kunian made a joke about kidnapping her in one of the letters. And then there's pictures of him with his 9 doll wives.
No, because could you imagine somebody who has a similar name? I mean, you went through death records, birth records. He probably went through hundreds of women, because there's a lot of people that have the same names.
Miss Taylor from Christchurch, Dorset, reported the IT software engineer to the police. Kunian initially denied his behavior and amounted to harassment, but admitted one charge of stalking Miss Taylor, 62 years old, and one of harassing her mother. He was sentenced to 120 hours of unpaid work and 10 rehabilitation days, as well as the 5-year restraining order, which prevents him from contacting Miss Taylor or her mother, and limited entry to Miss Allen's road. After the previous hearing, Kunian said he felt stupid over the matter. He said, "I upset her, Miss Taylor, when I was at school, and it haunted me for 50 years. I was determined to try and find out if she was okay, but clearly I alarmed her. I wanted to find a way to make it up to her. Girls have to be able to reject guys that they don't want, and those guys have to accept that. For some reason, I have not really been able to. It's a shame, and I do feel really stupid about the whole thing."
He sounds so dangerous. Do you though?
At the earlier hearing, prosecutor Lee Turner explained Kunian's unrequited love for Miss Taylor began when he went to school with her between 1968 and 1972. He said they last saw each other on the last day of school in 1972. He wrote a letter to her in the early 1970s, but it didn't reach her as her mother burnt it. And in 1978, she received a letter from him, but disposed of it and didn't reply. Take the hint, bro. Fuck your sex dolls and leave it alone. Isn't that what they're for? In May this year, he went to an old family home and the door was answered by her 88-year-old mother. He started asking questions about her daughter and she immediately recognized him as the male who used to have an infatuation with her daughter at school. He tried to give her a letter, but she said no and shut the door. A couple days later, post arrived, addressed to Julie Allen, her maiden name, detailing how much he wanted to get in touch. He sent a further 7 letters in May, June, July, August, and September. He had made reference to some gates that the mother had only just installed, and she started worrying he was watching the property.
Right.
The letter started off short and over time became lengthier and more rambled. The 5th letter in August caused her to phone the police as he made reference to wanting to kidnap her. It was written in lighthearted way, saying his kidnapping days are done, but it caused her alarm.
Well, then, do we need to go see other women you've kidnapped from 1952?
He also made reference to having researched her and knew little known private details. In a letter in September, he detailed an incident where he followed a female leaving the address on foot, believing it was Julie. It wasn't. She never replied to any letters. James Moore, defending, previously said Coonian intended no malice. What? Well, what else is this? Your harassment is malice. He said redundancy called him to take stock of his life, and all he wanted to do was see if he could rekindle a friendship with her. He realized that it's not going to happen, and since his arrest, he hasn't engaged in any behavior like this with Julia. Well, you know, let's give it another 50 years. Maybe he will. Anyway, guess the race of Mr. Coonian.
Killer stalker white.
All right, let's check the chat room, see what they believe. The unsub is a middle-aged white male, possibly has dolls in the freezer. Unrecognized love white. White breath you take. White.
Aww.
White only white
make.
Only white men could excuse the stalkery, creepy, dangerous behavior of another white man. White. White. Also, the dolls probably look like her. White. The correct answer is white. Y'all want to see the creepy man and his dolls?
I guess
I want to know when he got these professional photos taken, because these are very professional photos. Like, he had a shoot at his house with him and his dolls. Like,
they're getting in and out of the car. What is happening here?
Like, was he sending these pictures to her? Like, look, this is me and my other bitches. You could be here.
I mean, this could be us, but you playing.
Right. You could be here.
I know, right?
You could be here with me, girl.
I like the other one. I'll be watching you.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Oh, this shit is fucking creepy.
Look, he took one of these dolls out to a restaurant with actual people in it. Sir, why? Is no one supposed to notice? Like, what does this mean? Do you carry the doll in with you?
You got too hot. The doll can't move itself.
Also, what woman would dress like this? She's outside by the fence, wearing the skimpiest of lingerie, right up to the chocha.
She got Usher gloves on.
Right.
Pearls and heels.
Holding a rake that she can't use.
Come on.
Which is why the rake has spider webs on it. Sir, this picture here, I'm like, you let a professional take these pictures.
He had to.
You thought this was okay to tell people.
He did.
He just laid one in the bed, fully clothed. That's the way we having sex with him.
What? You thought this was okay?
I bet all these dolls are just her at different ages.
Yeah.
And there's 25-year-old her. And that's her when she's sad and alone after I die. Oh, God.
And nobody was like, sir, go to jail. Go all the way to jail.
Apparently not. Didn't think this was dangerous enough. He needed
to. So he guessed he had to put his hands on her.
Yeah, he needed to literally threaten her or something like that. Here's another creepy dude. A man put items behind women's car tires in order to watch them, police said.
What?
Yep. A Saginaw man. I'm sorry. Saginaw, Michigan. A Chesaning man with a history of stalking women in parking lots is charged again with a crime, one that could land him in prison for years.
Again. So that means this is the first time he did some bullshit.
Basically, what we have here are victims who call us to report that they felt they were being stalked and creeped out, said Sheriff Bill Federspiel. The individual was placing items underneath the tires of women's vehicles, stalking them in parking lots, watching them, picking out victims. He'd wait for them to go into the store, then place an item under their tire, then go back to his car where he would have a good vantage point. When the women would return to their vehicles and start to drive away, they run over the items, get out, and bend over to investigate. The man in question, identified by deputies, a 43-year-old Kurt M. Fulton, would watch them from his vehicle, at times with binoculars. That's the perviest, most effort shit I've ever heard of in my life.
Men are fucking scary.
That's the scariest shit.
Right.
To look at some butts. Listen, I love butts. Okay. I'm a Tina Belcher. All right. I am into butts. They're my faves. Okay. My old Instagram is butts. Tumblr page is butts. Love butts. This is so far and beyond the call of duty when you want to look at some booty. It's really disgusting to know that this person is out there.
I mean,
a lot
of women, they'd be like, here is my booty. Look at it.
Things I've never thought to myself. Let me go disturb this woman's day so I can look at her butt. That's what I'm going to do.
Disturb her fucking day.
Let me put a Coke bottle behind your car.
Now take it.
For the 3 seconds that it takes to bend over and look at the Coke bottle and go, oh, okay, my tire's okay. For the 3 seconds, that's just, I'm going to get binoculars, my nigga.
Which means you want a good look.
You looking like you on stakeout for some what? For some butts.
What is you up high at the NFL football game trying to see the field?
Right. This dude was on butt stakeout with a fucking telescope to look at some butts. Like, dude, join a gym or something. I don't know.
Come on, gym, yoga class. I mean,
walk around
Zumba.
The mall. Like,
I told y'all,
get your creep in line.
Like,
doing it for all the creeps.
Dudes don't know. You can look at all the ass you want to. If we're working out, as long as you don't creep us out, you can look at all the ass you want to. We know we are in here in skimpy clothes. It's hot. We try to exercise. Yeah, we all squatting and sweating. Yeah. That's cool.
I mean, obviously, this guy would not be able to handle it. But,
oh, no, he wouldn't.
But just in general, butts are everywhere is my point.
Yes, and women know they got them.
Yeah, it's not like women are walking around like, I don't have a butt. Like, oh, my God, when did that get there? It's you that makes it weird with your whole, like, oh, look at all that ass. Like, it's you going, let me put something in your way so you can bend over. That's the violation of the unspoken rules of somebody got some butt. That's it.
Google got plenty of big butts on it. Take yes. Your kids filter off. You can see all the ass.
Go just get a Tumblr account and look at butts. There you go. Go on Instagram. There's so many women on Instagram who just like, look at my butt. This is my life. This is what I do for a living. I am paid. I advertise flat tummy tea and look at my butt. That's it. And this motherfucker really was like, you know what I really need to do? I need to go with some items to put behind people's cars. That's crazy.
I need to harass the sucker mom.
Oh my God. Like, it's to the point where there's so much butts walking around. You might not even want to see butts. Right? Sometimes you just walk around like, dude, what's going on with all these butts in here? I really just came to eat my meal. And now it's a fucking butt extravaganza.
Come
here.
On. Now I wasn't ready for it.
And this dude is out here like, nope, I'm parking outside a motherfucking, I'm gonna park outside a Bed Bath and Beyond and put some motherfucking, items behind people's cars.
Right. So what the fuck? Next time I hit something, I got to drive home or halfway home before I look at it. Cause I don't know if some freaky ass dude is with some binoculars 2 cars down.
And you know the unspoken part of this. Definitely had his dick in his hand.
No, he did.
Definitely was jacking off to those butts. So yeah, they said they could not divulge specifics on what led investigators to Fulton, apart from saying he has a history of engaging in such conduct.
It's the same Utz chips. It's Utz. Like, every time he goes in, he purchases Utz, and all of a sudden, they come out, and there's 20 packages of Utz scattered across the parking lot, and nobody fucking knows why.
He likes Utz because it rhymes with butts.
Come on!
It reminded us of when we heard of it, of Mr. Fulton, because we've been down this road before. It wasn't much of a reach for us to dig up this info and find out where he was.
Before. That means...
That's... How sad is it...
He's on camera somewhere, probably.
Not just on camera. How sad is it that you are such a creep? The police was like, we don't even really need to do extra research. It's
Oh, we know who did it.
Yeah.
Number one suspect.
ma'am, you said, I hear you crying a little bit and sounds like you've been traumatized. Let me ask you this. Did he look at your butt? Yes. Okay, it's Kurt. Thank you, ma'am. We will take care of this. We know exactly where he is. Let's go to Kurt's house, y'all. Since 2004, at least 8 people in Saginaw and Janese counties have reported such behavior. Fulton was charged and convicted of aggravated stalking stemming from October 2007 incident in the parking lot of a Jones Fabrics and Crafts.
Where all the women go to sew.
A Saginaw County judge sentenced him to 5 years probation, but he violated it and was put in prison for 18 months. He violated the butt looking probation and went to prison for this.
Yeah, people coming out with needles and thread and shit like that. People,
what are you in for? I couldn't stop looking at butts.
I mean, they come out with artificial flowers and I just see ass.
Right, Your Honor. But look at that ass.
I mean, they're coming out with tons of fabric.
It's like that gif in the courtroom, black dude that's like thicker than a bowl of oatmeal or whatever, and then points at the camera. It looked like that's him.
He was like, I can't stop looking at asses.
Yeah, I can't help myself, y'all. Let me go to the next section real quick because we're going to get cut off.
No problem. And like I said, it's plenty of asses. Women freely. I don't comprehend this.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, nope, I got to get in when they don't know what's happening.
Yep. He can't help himself. Buying a bunch of dollar store items to put behind people down.
18 months you spent, like you say, how can you explain that?
Go to a strip club. They're bending over right there. Like,
the amount of money you spending on Utz chips, you could have bought a stripper.
Right. Good grief. I just don't understand. And I love butts. Like, this is not, you know, this is not me trying to act like,
you a butt?
You know what, a creepy ass right. guy who likes butts. Like everybody, not everybody, but I love butts. We all like, there's a lot of us that love butts.
A lot of us do.
And we're, oops, I hit the wrong button. Call artist session. That's what I want to do. There's a lot of people that love butts out here. A lot of butt enthusiasts that are not taking it this far. Okay. Creepy motherfucker. So yeah, Fulton was charged and convicted of aggravated stalking, da da da. In some instances, he would place VHS tapes and McDonald's cherry pies behind women's tires. Cause they are cheap. Yeah. I guarantee you that's why. Hold on. Let's give Karen a second.
Give Karen a second.
She's never done this before.
I have. I crossed it and it got uncrossed.
Okay. No problem. Yeah.
So explain that again.
He would put VHS tapes and McDonald's cherry pies behind the
something he know that would crush and you know, because it was something small day. He, you know what, I guarantee you he tested it. Guarantee you he probably put like something small, like the McChicken sandwich or some shit like that, or chicken nuggets, and like, shit, that ain't loud enough, I gotta get something that's gonna crack.
Yeah, I guarantee you he was playing cherry pie when he put them cherry pies down there to mm-hmm. get them women to bend over too,
and the cherry pies was just right.
Mm-hmm.
Cherry pie.
Where's that sound coming from?
Come on.
I went to see what's behind my tire and just some music came out of nowhere. And who's this creepy dude in binoculars looking at me?
Out of nowhere, why did McDonald's run out of all the cherry pies?
Sir,
and why are they all in the parking lot?
That is the ice cream machine isn't broken, but the cherry pie machine is down. Someone came about 70 cherry pies.
Come on, that's all we made for the day.
Man, that guy's awfully skinny to eat all them cherry pies.
I know
that
McDonald's like every time he'll order nothing else. Mm-hmm. Nothing else off the menu.
Oh, girl, I think I hit some. Hold on, let me go check the back tires and see what's behind there. Girl, you hear that music? Where is that coming from?
I bet you that's what happened at the drive-thru every time he pulled up. The people go, where's that music coming from? Oh, this is the fuck cherry pie man coming.
Sir, get your dick out your hand and put down the binoculars. It's disturbing. It's because of the nature of this. It's very creepy, unacceptable behavior. That's the best way to describe it. It's just creepy, said the sheriffs.
Imagine the worker that they sent to the parking lot that got to clean up all the fucking cherry pies you fucking people rolled over.
They say his bond at $80,000 cash surety. or 10%. So he got to come up with $8,000 cash to get out.
Make it higher.
Yeah. So the reigning
the cassette tape.
All right.
So what is he? So what did he do? Did he go and buy like all the blank cassette tapes that they got? You know, the at the few places that actually sell them.
Yeah, where do you find blank? Like, we don't know they're blank. Maybe they were just his VHS tapes.
Okay, I'm assuming that you went and bought like the whole pack of 25 for $2. Because
you
I
probably
mean,
just went
fuck?
To Goodwill and bought all the 8-tracks.
Come on, all the 8-tracks.
I'm like, why does this dude want all the 8-tracks?
I mean, sir, this isn't even good music.
What is he even playing these with?
Does he even have an 8-track in his car?
It's a lot of disco. There's a lot of disco, sir. I guess he's a fan.
That's why we sell them for 5 cents a piece.
Right. All right, Karen, guess the race.
Oh, white.
Karen's going white. Let's check the chat room and see what they believe. Little, like Mix-a-Lot said, even white boys got to shout. White, says Gourmet Google. White, even after spending time in jail, he's out and still at it. Wow. White and leave disco out of it. Okay, June. Okay. You know, they did have songs about booty and disco, so I want to say it's a gateway drug to what drove him crazy. The M stands for Meat Beater White. The correct answer is he is a white man. The binoculars are what take me out.
Right.
Like, do you know how committed to looking at some ass you gotta be to buy binoculars to look from your car?
The headline. Ooh,
yeah.
What's happening here?
What is happening indeed? Good grief. All right. Let's go to the bonus round.
Double the points and the race. Double the points and the race.
That's right. Double the points, double the race, and the bonus round to guess the race. So far, Karen is 2 for 2. Let's see if she can go a smooth 3 for 3. Man, we talk about so many creepy men. It makes women react sometimes, Karen.
It does.
Rightfully so. And sometimes not rightfully so. Kiera LeGray, 22 years old, was arrested and charged with strangling in New York, police said. The Plattsburgh Police Department posted a video Thursday showing 22-year-old Kiera LeGray attacking a bouncer from behind at the 518 nightclub October 20th.
Okay.
In a video, she is seen at the bar dancing with her friend when her friend, the woman, hits LeGrave's butt. Not realizing that it was her friend who touched her, LeGray spins around, makes a beeline for the bouncer who happened to be walking by the two women. LeGrave immediately wraps her arms around the bouncer's neck. LeGrave's friend tries to stop her, but it's too late. LeGrave and the bouncer fall on the dance floor. LeGrave stands up, walks away as the bouncer stays on the ground for a few seconds before slowly getting to his feet. LeGrave choked the bouncer unconscious.
Woo!
That's a strong lady.
She was like, this is an example for the next person. Don't touch me.
Apparently so. She choked him unconscious. They said the bouncer didn't try to stop her because he thought it was a friend playing a joke on him. Even though it was a misunderstanding, LeGrave was arrested and charged with strangling, police said.
Yeah. We got to charge with that.
Guess the race of Kiera LeGrave.
Black.
Karen's going with black. All right. Let's check the chat room. This behavior is why we can't go to Bella Noches no more. Black.
Oh, no.
Black, says Gourmet Goober. A lot of blacks. Let's see.
Why we can't go no more.
I don't see any other guesses. I guess some of you are too cowardly to guess and just you don't want to be a real person. Interesting. Full Nelson black. So it looks like everybody's going black on this one and everyone is wrong. It's real sad to see some of the...
I demand a recount.
It's real sad to see some of the anti-blackness that people traffic within in our chat room. I mean, because...
I know her resume. She can't find a job.
So because she got violent, all of a sudden she got to be a black woman.
Her name?
Oh, because her name... So what? Only black people name their kids Kiera LeGrave? Oh, that's what it is.
I never said that. I'm just going based off of the stereotype that I know. And I know all this white woman's resumes get chucked in the trash can.
You not woke, Karen. Okay?
I guess I'm not then. I'm sleep.
You not woke. Okay? Your wokeness has been rejected.
You not woke. Wakanda, everybody had guns.
Come on. I can't believe it.
You don't fit the stereotype, ma'am.
She's not black, Karen. Okay.
She sure.
I told my mom I'll never be like any of those Negroes.
Mm-mm. And you sure ain't, ma'am.
She would never be.
One time your racism work against you.
She look like Hayden Panettiere. All right, let's go to Sword Ratchetness. Give me, damn it, hold on a second, hit the wrong button. Let's go to Sword Ratchetness. Ex-NFL player Charles Rogers arrested for wielding a sword at a youth basketball event.
Oh.
Some high-stakes basketball there for
apparently
kids.
Apparently so.
He was making terroristic threats at a youth basketball event and wielding a sword 6 weeks after leaving a voicemail threatening a youth football player. That's right. Player, not coach. Rogers, who played 5 seasons in the NFL with the Seattle Seahawks, Miami Dolphins, and Buffalo Bills, after starring at Georgia Tech, brandished the sword during the October 5th incident at Matawan Aberdeen Middle School during an event for parents of a local youth basketball travel team. According to the Aberdeen Police Chief John T. Powers, a 42-year-old Rogers turned himself in Monday and was also charged with possession of a weapon for an unlawful purpose, stalking, and unlawful possession of a weapon. He was taken to the Monmouth County Jail in Freehold Township. The state did not seek to detain him after his initial appearance, so he was released. The next step would be for the Monmouth County Prosecutor's Office to bring charges to a grand jury. There's been no announcement if they will proceed or if that could happen. It's just the latest incident involving Rogers, who played and coached at Matawan Regional High School and also coached at St. John Vianney High School. The arrest comes 11 weeks after Rogers, who at the time was coaching the Matawan American Youth Football, left a profanity-laden voicemail for the parent of an 11-year-old player on another team, threatening to send his players after the child until he came out of an upcoming game. Just hours after USA Today Network New Jersey disclosed the voicemail September 6th, Rogers was fired from his job as the offensive coordinator of St. John Vianney High School. Well, he probably should have been. He was also suspended indefinitely by Jersey Shore American Youth Football, banning him from volunteering, coaching, or serving as a board member anywhere near AYF in New Jersey.
Agreed.
Well, if you get banned from Jersey Shore, I mean, you really gotta get your life together, because
what?
That team just wants to gym tan laundry. I mean, they're very easy. In the voicemail left for Chris Schuster, the parent of a player who left Matawan AYF to play for the East Brunswick-based St. Bart's Buffaloes, Rogers declares at one point, "We are going to blitz every fucking play until your guy comes out of the game." Matawan and St. Bart's did play their regularly scheduled game against each other without incident. The voicemail can be heard by playing the video at the top of the story. In the 44-second diatribe, Rogers, whose legal name is John Edward Rogers, says, "You know I'm pissed off about this shit right here, and I'm telling you, I swear to God, we are going to blitz. We don't care if we give up a badge or not. We're blitzing everybody. We're blitzing every single fucking play. And something that is bad, I guess you think that is bad, fuck shit move. I don't know, bullshit move, and I don't like it. And it's a stupid move, and we're gonna blitz every single fucking play. Hang the fuck up, heal every play." Prior to being hired earlier this year to serve as an offensive coordinator at St. John Vianney under head coach John Martucci, who Rogers played for at Matawan Regional High School, Rogers served as assistant coach at Matawan under Martucci 2008 to 2011. Oh man, what the fuck?
Right.
I can't believe the only thing I could think that would make somebody be like this, I mean, I hate to say it, but gotta be the CTE.
truth. Tell the truth.
Tell the truth. All right, y'all, we'll be back tomorrow if things go according to plan, okay? If things go according to plan. Big if. Everybody pray for us. We should have our girl Janelle James on here, okay? She stay busy. She stay working. She's booked all the time.
Right.
Sometimes plans change at the last minute. But if everything goes as it should, we should have Janelle James on the show tomorrow.
Yay.
So I hope so. All right. Until then, I love you.
I love you too.
Mwah.